Welcome to Chinuch Today. I am your host, Rabbi Yerachmiel Garfield. Please join me as we highlight innovative ideas and inspiring people from the world of Chinuch. Hello and welcome to another episode of Chinuch Today. This is Yerachmiel Garfield. Today, I am going to introduce you to a remarkable woman and a remarkable project. Some of the interviews that I have are very relevant to me personally, really strike me, either because we do the programs in our school or they touch upon an issue that I've thought of a lot about. Some of them I know less about and I've had less to do with, although they're very fascinating to me. They don't necessarily tug on my heartstrings the same way. Well, today's episode is very much in the bread and butter of my experience and my passion. As a father of dyslexic children, I know a little about this topic. And today's interviewee, Ms. Alana Weinberg, has founded a school in Baltimore to support children who are going through our system who have dyslexia. And a word about dyslexia, or at least the way I've experienced it in my family, is sort of unique for many children. Because you could have children that excel in many other areas of intellectual ability, whether it be verbal, auditory, the ability to process information, to make decisions, to clarify, to be creative, to be comfortable in groups. There's so many strengths a person could have, but reading is where the most critical learning and focus is of young children. So it sets up this remarkably disjointed reality for these children, where in some ways they could be exceptionally talented and exceptionally strong, and in other ways be exceptionally weak and disabled. And what that does to a child is very complicated to square that in their mind when they're in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, where the entire focus of learning is on reading, and they can't perform, and they don't know why. And that creates tremendous challenge. But it's not only the emotional burden. The reality is that reading is critical. It's the key to all learning, right? To be able to open books and read, and to be able to open svarim and learn, and to be able to daven. It is the most essential and critical skill that we teach in school. But what's really unique about this particular learning challenge is that once overcome, dyslexics are able to achieve so much. You just Google it. Famous dyslexics like Leonardo da Vinci is a good example of someone who, although had that weakness of dyslexia, was able to creatively create, to open new vistas for the world. And there are many people like that out there who, even though they had certain challenges in school, once they were able to crack the code or often avoid the code, which many of them end up doing, of finding alternative ways to survive and then thrive, they're really able to make tremendous impact on society and our world. And that's why, as a chinuch community, and as a Jewish chinuch community, to be able to address the needs of this particular subpopulation is really a way to open up assets for the Jewish people, for our community. Because these children, if given the proper intervention, which we know what to do, by the way, that's another unique thing, is that we know through research how to teach these children to read. It's not easy. It takes very specific tools, which you'll hear about in this interview. But we know that it works, and it does work time and time again. So we have this population with a challenge that we know how to fix. And we know that if we're able to fix it, these children have tremendous potential, not only as individuals, but also for the community. So now you can understand why, to me, as a mechanech and someone who's seen this up front, why, to me, this is such an amazing project. Because here, this amazing person has decided that this is important. She had children who are dyslexic, who I don't even believe go to her own school, who until now, many of these children have had to go to non-Jewish schools to get the proper intervention. As in a partnership with the city of Baltimore, they have said that we are going to invest in an infrastructure to help these children. And that's what she has done. She has opened this program, as you will hear, called Binyan Yisrael, which, as she will say, builds Klal Yisrael with these children, and has put in the amazing, amazing effort and work to put together a program. And I must say that this really does strike me and pull at me, because this is like a dream that we could create the proper chinuch environment for these children. I've seen what they do in the non-Jewish schools. I myself have sent children to those schools, as Ms. Weinberg has. And so we see what could be done, and it's really amazing. And once these children start to get it, to start to understand it, their life opens, their world opens, and it's really an amazing thing to see. So, as I started by saying, this is a very personal episode, a very personally inspiring episode, and I dream of being able to accomplish the kind of things that Mrs. Weinberg is doing, as you'll hear, because I feel it is such a lacking area in our community, in our landscape, chinuch landscape, but one that has great promise for our people and for the children who are going to benefit from it. So I hope you enjoy hearing about it, and the Mirza Shemin will inspire you to join in your communities and in your schools to make sure we're doing the best we can for this population. Welcome to Chinuch Today. We have Mrs. Alana Weinberg, the founder and director of Binyan Yisrael, which is a school for children with certain learning disabilities, as we will discuss, based in Baltimore. Hello and good morning, Mrs. Weinberg.
Hello, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm very excited about this and learning about your school. I don't know a whole lot about it, so I'm really going to be learning in real time with you today, this morning. But I know that language-based learning disorders are very challenging to address properly. And I know that that's something that you're working to do, and it's so important. So let's get into that. But before we do, I always like to start with, who are you, where are you from, and how did you get into this? So let's start with, where did you grow up, Alana?
That's wonderful. Perfect. I grew up in a very small town in southern New Jersey called Margate, New Jersey, which is a beach town.
Truckee land.
Exactly, exactly. So I did go to Truckee Hebrew Academy.
Blessed memory, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. It's no longer there. The community has dwindled, but thank God my parents are still there, and it's really wonderful to visit them.
Cool.
It's a really nice community, small, very small. So I grew up in a really small, tight-knit community.
Was they have a high school there, or did you have to go away for high school?
So yeah, I went away. I was actually in Eretz Yisrael for a little bit. I hopped around a little bit because it was a small community, and it still is. So when I was there, there was no high school. Right. But it's a really nice place to grow up. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I remember the principal was Rabbi Weiss all the
exactly.
year.
Exactly. Yeah.
I had some friends there, and I used to visit, and so I'm familiar.
It was
anyway, great. Okay, cool. And then did you study in Israel in seminary and any type of thing like that?
So I actually went to Bar Ilan University for a little bit, and then I came back from Israel and I went to Stern, where I got my degree in education, where really I fell in love with chinuch.
Wow, right away. So you knew you were on the chinuch path pretty early.
My mom is an educator. My mom is actually a special educator. And I realized very early on, I think maybe my mom actually did, that I really enjoyed working with young children. So I worked in our shul with young children. I worked in camps with young children. And I think from seeing her and seeing all the effort that she put into our specialized education programs, mm-hmm. it really felt like a calling.
Wow. Awesome. So you said you did some of your education in Bar Ilan and then some at YU, was it?
At Stern.
So how would you describe the philosophical pieces that you brought? Was Bar Ilan very different? Do they have a very different approach to this than Stern? Or would you say it was all similar?
So this was a while ago. Thank God I've been in chinuch for a while. I think Eretz Yisrael in general has a different approach and view on chinuch. And so definitely it influenced me, especially from seeing how elementary age students and kibbutzim like to do chinuch in terms of their, you know, junkyard type of approach and the freedom that children get to have in Eretz Yisrael. That definitely influenced part of, you know, just my philosophical or maybe methods in which we approach education here at Binyan.
You try to make the box a little looser.
Exactly.
All right, cool. And then so after you graduated from Stern, what was your first job in education?
I got married when I was in Stern, and then my husband and I moved from New York to Boston, where he was in medical school. And so I worked at a small school called New England Hebrew Academy, which I guess is maybe not even that small. First and early childhood there for we were in Boston for 5 years. And then from Boston, after being in Boston, we came to New York and I taught in a school for a year. And then I was a director of education at a small school in Yonkers, New York called Stein Yeshiva of early childhood education.
Hmm.
I've never heard of any of those places. So that's really interesting. Okay, so and those jobs that you had, were they in early childhood specifically?
So early childhood is actually birth through third grade.
Okay.
So that is that before I took on starting Binyan Yisrael, I was primarily in early childhood education and working with consulting and coaching. Even so, after we ended up in New York and we came to Baltimore, I worked for a professional development organization, and I was a coach and consultant to other directors, both in early childhood education and in elementary schools.
Awesome. Wow. So you've taught, have you, and you were the director and then consultant. And then I guess the next thing was opening Binyan Yisrael. Was that the next sort of stage in your development professionally?
Yeah, so the next stage was opening Binyan Yisrael. However, within my journey of throughout my own journey of being an educator, I also went back and received other certificates for language, specifically for language-based learning differences. I'm trained in Orton-Gillingham. I'm trained for Lyndon Moon Bell, and I'm also trained in the Wilson for direct explicit instruction for English reading. And I've done also courses for dysgraphia and dyscalculia. I went back to school to add to my, I guess, portfolio.
Where would you say the best school for that is? Like, it sounds like, did you go to different schools? Like, where is the Mecca for special ed of that nature?
So we're really grateful, and really, it's an unbelievable opportunity to live here in Baltimore, where we have the Gemisi School, which is a non-Jewish school that serves specifically children with language-based learning differences, and they've been opened for 50 years. It's actually where my older son went to school and where my younger son currently is. And they have partnered with us to be able to provide professional development and training. They have an amazing course that we sent all of our educators to, which is a 30-hour crash course on language-based learning differences. And so I've taken all of their courses here in Baltimore. That added to the understanding of math for the dyscalculia, and for the written for the dysgraphia. But prior to that, I in Stern, actually, I was trained for Orton-Gillingham, and then when I was in Boston, I went to a center to be trained in Lyndon Moon
Got
Bell.
it.
They have centers, and also for Wilson, just going directly to the Wilson website, one can become trained for the Wilson method too.
I'm familiar with a lot of this language and these different programs, but some of the people listening might not be. So I need to take a step back and just talk about if you could help us understand what a language-based learning disorder is. And then I'm personally curious to talk about contrasting the different intervention strategies because I've heard about all of them and have sort of a different feel for them. But you who've studied them all and sort of seen them in real time must have a great perspective. How'd you get into language-based disorders as a focus? You mentioned your kids are in the school. I assume that's part of it, but maybe tell
Perfect.
us about that.
Yeah, so when I was an early childhood director and my oldest son was in pre-1A, he was just learning Lashon Kodesh. And so for Kriya, he actually was doing beautiful, and he was learning all of his letters and all the nekudos and was able to blend in a pre-1A type of level. But when he went off to first grade, very, very quickly, it was recognized that something is not clicking for him, specifically regarding English, and then adding more nekudos and more letters to his repertoire and for real fluent and accurate reading. And so he was sent for testing, and he was 100% diagnosed very, very early on in first grade with dyslexia. And so once I found out, my husband and I found out that he had dyslexia, a language-based learning difference, we threw ourselves into learning everything we possibly could about this learning difference. And so that's when I really went back to school. And that was 9 years ago.
Got it. Wow.
My oldest son is currently in 10th grade, and he went to a special school. We lived in New York at the time, so we had the amazing opportunity for him to go to the Shefa School, which is the first school that I believe here that opened in New York for students, for Jewish students with language-based learning differences.
Right. And it's non-denominational, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, but they served everybody.
They served
Okay,
everyone.
so how would you define dyslexia or language-based learning disorder, how would you define it to the uneducated? Most people think dyslexia means just writing backwards a few letters, and that's really not what it means. It could be that that's a sign of it, but it's not what it means. So what does it mean? How would you define it?
Correct. Well, the way that we really say it here for students who are applying to Binyan is any student who has a reading disability or a reading learning difference, that when they go for testing, that they struggle either in terms of reading, writing, or language as a whole in terms of comprehension. That's the way that we say it to the lay non-educated.
So, and the cause of that reading disorder, couldn't it be a lot of different things that could cause a child to have trouble learning to read?
Correct. Which is why every student here at Binyan, as well as all special education schools, need a full neuropsychological evaluation, because there could be a many, many different reasons and facets why a student is either behind or struggling in school in general. And the way in which we teach those different types of learners is different. And so we really here at Binyan specifically want to make sure that we're able to serve all of our students to the best of our ability. So that's why that testing is really, really, really crucial.
Got it. Now, I did notice on your website that you mentioned ADHD specifically as something that you accommodate for, et cetera. Is that a common comorbidity, or why did you mention that specifically?
Yeah. So we like to say that all learning differences don't like to travel alone. They like to travel with friends. And so it is pretty rare for someone to come with just one learning difference. However, we like to focus on the primary learning difference. Our primary learning difference that we're able to serve here at Binyan Yisrael is language-based learning differences. However, they like to travel with pairs. And so it is very, very common for a student who has a language-based learning difference to also have ADD, ADHD, either combined, which means inattentive or hyperactive, or a combination of the both, or just one, as well as students who have a learning difference usually have anxiety based on their past experiences, and just based, that's what most learning differences come with. So that's why those two are listed on our website. And executive functioning is kind of tied to the ADHD, but it also can come alone. And some of our students also can grapple with executive functioning as well.
What percentage would you say of the kids have that? I'm just curious, you know, that have either ADHD or anxiety or some mixture in addition to the dyslexia. Did you say 90%? Like, is it that high? Or?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Wow. Fascinating.
I would say, especially the students that we're seeing and we're taking here at Binyan Yisrael currently. I would say if you would ask the Gemesi school, which has a much larger population and who has been around for much longer, that they might not have those same.
Got it. Well, I think part of it, in my experience, is also that those kids tend to stick out more, so that people are more motivated to make the hard decision of bringing them to an alternative education school, which is, we all resist that a lot. So
100%.
For a parent to actually take that step, the house has to be on fire.
And, 100%.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Let's go back for a second to the different intervention models that you've learned. You mentioned Orrin Gillingham, Wilson, and Linda Mubell, all very well known to those of us in the education world. I think it would be a little too laborious to ask you to like explain each one, but are they remarkably different? Are there certain commonalities, or is there one that you feel really has the golden grail, if you will, on that? Or what are your thoughts?
So we found that we're using, so every student who comes to Binyan Yisrael receives an hour, 60 minutes of direct explicit instruction, which is structure-based literacy, which we know that students who have these type of learning challenges need. They need this type of intervention in order for them to see great success. And so all three programs that we're talking about are a structure-based literacy approach. We here, so currently at Binyan Yisrael, all of our students receive 60 minutes of this type of education on a 2-to-1 ratio, 2 students for 1 special educator who is highly specialized and trained in these methodologies. Most of our teachers are trained at least in 2. All of them have been trained in Wilson because that is the program that we are using for their scope and sequence and for just data collection, as well as to make sure that we are maintaining the level that we would like to here at Binyan.
Why did you pick Wilson?
We picked Wilson actually based on the recommendations from the Gemesi School. The Gemesi School created their own scope and sequence, but we really felt that after looking through OG, Linden Mubeld, and Wilson, we were going to land on Wilson for the scope and sequence to use as our curriculum. However, Linden Mubeld has pieces that we do use within our Wilson model, and we do use parts of OG within the Wilson model. So really, we're using all three, and it really comes based on the type of learner. Some students learn you know, in with structure-based literacy, they'll do much better in terms of the Linden Mood Bell. Maybe they need much more sounds. They're not necessarily hearing the sounds as well, the way that the mouth is able to create the sounds. And so for Linden Mood Bell, there are picture cards that say how to make your lips or your tongue, and that could be beneficial for some of our students. Some of our students need strictly decoding and encoding, breaking apart words for, so that they could read and then putting them back together in terms of spelling. And so for that, we found that Wilson is absolutely phenomenal. And we do use pieces of OG for the hands-on approaches and differentiated other types of instruction.
Wow. Wow. And you're the mastermind that synthesizes these things together on an as-needed basis?
So yes, absolutely. So our educators are phenomenal. They are, again, incredibly highly trained, and this is a passion of theirs. So they came already to our school having great, great knowledge. And with the help of the mentorship from the Gemesee School, we as a team have put it together. The data, we are collecting data, and the data is unbelievable. Along with using all of these different types of modalities and methods, we also we collect a lot of data. We use the Wilson to collect data to benchmark, and we also perform the DIBLES, which is another type of assessment that's very known in the community, twice a year.
Amazing.
And that's just for reading English intervention. We also, you know, some of our students struggle in terms of math. It could come as a second type of learning difference, or for some reason that a student could be behind in math based on being in the classroom or when they were pulled out in their mainstream classroom from before. And so we have a direct explicit approach to math. We use curriculum based on Howard County here in Baltimore, and it's hands-on. It's really, really hands-on, using manipulatives. It's phenomenal. And we use a screener called the Universal Screener Number Sense, USNS, to help us figure out exactly what our students are proficient in and what our students could use extra help in terms of math.
Wow.
Gemesee provided us amazing information to help us with written language, how students can create sentences, full sentences using nouns and adjectives and verbs. Sometimes it can be really hard for students with language-based learning differences to get their thoughts out on paper, specifically with writing and even talking to text. And so we use a curriculum, which actually sadly is not in print anymore, called Framing Your Thoughts. And based on Framing Your Thoughts, Gemesee created their own curriculum called Paragraphology, which is the second part of Framing Your Thoughts after building sentences on how do we build paragraphs. So that's for our written language arts part of the curriculum.
We got reading, math, written language arts. What about Judaics?
Yeah, absolutely amazing. So this is the part that we've really kind of are creating as we go, because there is no curriculum for Mishnayos and Gemara and Chumash at the type of level in which our students can learn and strive to learn. And so what we've done for Chumash, Mishnayos, our students are really capable of learning at a very high level and understanding and breaking apart text without us having to without the student having to read it. All of our students are not fluent and accurate in reading Kriya and Lashon Kodesh. And so we have an hour also at the We have an hour of direct explicit instruction in our Kriya. We use a program that was created by Mrs. Adel Schwab. She's from Detroit. She uses the curriculum Yesodos, which is a highly, highly intensive program that works on getting rid of any confusion there might be between first and foremost the letter shape and sound, and then adding in the Nekudos as units very, very, very specifically. I cannot recommend a better program.
How did you choose that? I mean, there's so many Kriya programs out there.
There are so many Kriya programs, for the most part, because the other Kriya programs were not successful with our students. Most of our students come from schools. We only have one student who came from a public school setting, and they they have not been matzliach in any of the other Kriya programs. The other Kriya programs did not address confusion between right and left. Most students with a language-based learning difference struggle between differentiating what's the right side and the left side. Seeing all the intricates between skinny letters and long letters and short letters or same sound letters, we spend a lot of times on just letter shape and letter sound. The SODOS program uses all three, OG, Lyndon Mubell, and Wilson type of curriculum all wrapped up in one. I found that a lot of the other Kriya programs are really Orton-Gillingham based, which I think works for the neurotypical learner. But for our learners, they really need a much more specialized, specific, targeted, and structured approach.
How do you find Judaic staff that are able to have the background needed for this?
So, yeah, that's a great question. We did bring Mrs. Schwab into Baltimore so that she could train all of our educators this past summer. And so we did train all of our Kriya staff for using this program. And so we did do a lot of training. We've reached out to as many people as we possibly can to help us understand how we possibly could build our Kodesh curriculum. We really are working again, you know, with the Gemesi school, even though they're not a Jewish school, but understanding, you know, how they break down their language program. We can take that and bring that into Binyan and use all the approaches that we know that are research-based and have had so many years of success, and we can bring them into Kodesh. So how we've broken up our Kodesh curriculum. Mishnayos is based on content, not on skills. We're teaching them the Mishnayos skills, such as what's the case and who's saying it and what are they talking about. And we work on diktuk during Chumash, the way that Gemesi works on their language, like I just spoke about framing your thoughts, noun, predicate, suffix, prefix, in using framing your thoughts. So we've kind of taken different approaches and we've put them into boxes that for Kodesh.
Yeah.
Most importantly, however, our students are feeling a great level of success because we've taken out what the real hardship was, that until they're able to be fluent and accurate readers, having students sit down and really break their teeth over reading the Chumash, they're concentrating so much on the actual decoding piece that they're not able to sit back and say, what is the pasuk saying? Who's speaking? What does Rashi say on this? And so they're able to really, really learn and steig and feel really good about where they're going with it without the Kriya piece there.
Beautiful. All right, let's take a step back and talk about the development of Binyan Yisrael. So it's quite a major undertaking to open a new school anywhere. And that's something you've done. So let's talk, where did the idea first come from? And how did you muster the chutzpah, if you will, to jump into something like this?
I still try to find the chutzpah every day, honestly. Thank God. It has been an unbelievable journey. My husband and I moved to Baltimore 6 years ago. And prior to moving to Baltimore, we already knew that 2 out of our 4 children had dyslexia. And we were coming for my husband's job. And I had reached out to Shemesh, who is the umbrella organization or was the umbrella organization here in Baltimore to help any student with special educational needs. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to Shemesh and I had the zchus of being directly put in line with Dr. Aviva Weisbord of blessed memory. She answered her Shemesh line from her home. And I just spoke to her and I said, hi, my name is Alana Weinberg. I have 2 children with dyslexia. We're moving to town. What do I need to do? And she said to me, when can you come? You should come visit me tomorrow. And she gave me her address and I got in the car and I drove from New York to Baltimore and I met with Dr. Weisbord and she looked over my children and she heard about me and she said, we do not have any program here currently in Baltimore to help your children in a Jewish school. Yeah. However, hopefully one day we will. And hopefully you'll be the one to start it. And I laughed because I was leaving being a director of a school. And I kind of said after being a director that I was going to just be a coach and consultant and, you know, help settle my family. But that's where it really started.
Wow.
It was a huge schuss. And Dr. Weisbord and I became really, really close over that amount of time. And we worked on this slowly. She helped with the name. She really felt that a lot of our students, these are amazing, bright, capable students who really can thrive if they receive the proper level of support. And in a mainstream school with the level of support our resource rooms are able to give, it's not really allowing our students to be able to thrive as much as they potentially could if they're in a specialized school. And she really saw that. And it was unbelievable. And so that's really how and why we got started.
So what were the first steps that you had to take?
First steps were creating a school and going around to all the MOSTOs in Baltimore and collecting data if this is really a need. How many students are we seeing in the school? We know the real statistic. Technically, the real statistic is 1 in 5 students grapple with a language-based learning difference. I like to say 1 in 10 in our MOSTOs really should be in a school like Binyan Yisrael. 1 in 10 students require that extra level, fully comprehensive day from start to finish where we're collecting all of the data and we're making sure that they're not on the conveyor belt of chinuch where we're, you know, passing them through with just getting them by, that these students are really, really able to thrive.
Did you find that the leaders you were meeting with were receptive to what you were saying?
It's a real struggle. I think that, you know, stigma is really real. Having students leave a school and come to a separate school, even though it's on the same campus, is really real. And I think it's a struggle.
Yeah, understand.
Identifying also who the students are can be difficult. Having parents go for testing, parents being willing, you know, and it's expensive. In Baltimore, there is really no funding. So either you're getting testing in the public school, which either is hit or miss, or you're getting on a wait list, or you're paying out of pocket a few thousand dollars for really great educational testing.
Right.
And identifying students within a large classroom. Sometimes students with language-based learning differences are not even identified until sixth grade because they are so amazing and so capable and so geschickt that they're really able to maintain until they're not.
Okay, so you went around and you, I guess, obviously found that there would be a need. And the leaders
went around. We collected really great data on what the needs of all the resource rooms in town are. What are the type of student that they're seeing? Who are they seeing multiple times a day? And the data is really real that, yes, that 1 in 10 students really, really, really should be in a fully comprehensive day. It also is hard because a lot of people, and I was one that had to make the really difficult choice in using Dastor as well to take my children from school and put them in a non-Jewish school. But most parents are not able to do that, either financially and also because of all of the other hardships that come with going to a non-Jewish school. And so for a very long time, we also here have, in Baltimore, have just been trying as best as we possibly can to keep them within the from school system and giving them everything they possibly can within the system. Now, however, Baruch Hashem, there is an option. So we're really looking forward to next year of growing. This year we had one class of third graders that's hosted in Beis Yaakov, 8 girls in our third grade class that came from all different MOSTOs.
This was your first year open this past year?
This was our first year open, yeah.
How long did it take from the time that you really got into it until you opened your doors?
2.5 years. It was getting schools on board. It was getting our MOSTOs, the community on board. Rabbi Hopfer and Rabbi Heinemann here in Baltimore, Baruch Hashem, they were one of the first stops to go visit the Rabbeim. Rabbi Aaron Feldman, the Rosh Yeshiva, gave us a letter. I met with the Rav of the Rosh Yeshiva of Neri Yisrael first, and then Rabbi Hopfer and then Rabbi Heinemann. This is a need of our community here in Baltimore, and the Rabbeim and the town is really behind it.
I love it. And so you mentioned, sorry, I cut you off, but you said 8 third grade girls at Beis Yaakov, and how many boys?
We have 8 boys in TA who are 4th and 5th grade, 4 fourth graders and 4 fifth graders.
That's interesting. Why were the girls third graders and the boys 4th and 5th graders?
Yeah, it actually is really interesting. It really had to do with the partnership with the schools that we work within and in terms of the community. It is exceptionally interesting. And I don't know why. I would love, hopefully one day, to try to figure out why we're able to diagnose and know where our girls are holding much earlier.
I would think that first grade is the place to start, right? That if you're doing sufficient data collection, kids are going to express this in pre-K, kindergarten, and the earlier that you get to it, the better it is. So is the goal to move down or to move up in terms of the grades?
Yeah, absolutely. I think early screenings are necessary. And I know there are organizations here in town, specifically one who is run by Faggy Bander. It's called Let's Chat Therapy that offers screenings for schools. I know a few Mostos in town that do have early screening for our students because, yes, we can identify, if we can identify students early on that have a language-based learning difference, the earlier the intervention, the better. And so the hope is that we will have eventually a school that will go from second grade through our hope was seventh, and we would, and our goal is to mainstream students as quickly as we possibly can. And so the idea would be that really we know in terms of education in general that 3 years in order for real remediation, we like to say that it's a 3 year type of track. However, with each student can come either more challenges or less challenges. So it could be that a student could be here for 2 years. It could be that a student is with us for three, and it could be that a student is with us for more. The goal is, however, to mainstream and Emirat Hashem with support. Some of our students will still need support in seventh, eighth, and even in high school. And the goal for Binyan Yisrael is to be able to put someone from our team into one Mostos in town to be able to work with our students if they choose to go there in seventh or eighth grade afterwards, so that we can follow them if they need extra reading support or extra Kriya support or help in terms of like a resource room type of help with push-in or pull-out services in the classroom, that we're able to offer that as well.
I can't imagine the financial responsibility that this project takes. You're talking about 16 children, and who knows how many professionals they, it sounds like 10 at least. Well,
Yeah, we have 16 staff members.
okay, so that's one a one-to-one ratio. So generally, people aren't paying $50,000, $60,000 in tuition. I assume that's what your cost per kid is in the range of that. So how have you taken on the financial responsibility, and how does that work?
It's a really great question.
You might be asking yourself that around payday.
We dive in a lot of amunah and tefillah. This was one of the questions that Rabbi Hopfer and I really, really spoke about a lot. The Rav said very, very clearly when I wanted to open that there were two things that we really wanted to concentrate on. Number one was that the education needed to be really, really, really good. That unless if we were going to do this, it needed to be on par, and we needed to collect the proper data, which I absolutely agree with. And Baruch Hashem, I think this past year we have surpassed my wildest dreams in terms of what we have accomplished and our amount of data collection and for our educators. And the second thing was that we can't create a school where no one can come to because financially it's just not. It's not feasible. The Genesee School costs in Baltimore costs $42,000. They don't give out very many scholarships. There are two other schools that exist in Baltimore specifically for language-based learning differences, the Legacy School and the Odyssey School. They also cost around $30,000 and up. There's a school in Silver Spring for children with special needs. It costs 49. So yes, price is really, really, really the cost of tuition is really difficult. For us, we called the cost of this year for our first year to be $25,000. Most of our students are not paying full tuition. I personally raised funds for seed money as well as scholarships, and I have an amazing team of community members and for our board who are, raising the funds. Thank God our model is sustainable, and we hope to get some grants in the future, and we just continue to daven.
Wow, it's a real testament to the city of Baltimore that they're willing to fund it, because it is such an important offering, and really sakonas nefashos in a large sense for these kids who have such capacity. Not to say that every Jewish kid needs, equally needs our help, but a lot of these kids have such creativity and such capacity to offer Klal Yisrael great stuff, and the education system just weighs them down and just can really hurt them. And to think that you're providing this is really a lifeline for these kids. It's really, really
Thank
nothing
God.
less than that.
I think you said it exactly perfectly, that these students are bright, capable, amazing students whose mind works a little bit differently. So they need to be taught a little bit differently. But that little bit of difference does not work in a mainstream classroom and does not necessarily work with small bits of pullout. But with the proper intervention, which we know it's research-based, it's been around for a really, really, really long time, we know that it works. I always say, people say, like, how did you figure it out? I didn't make this up. This is not rocket science. We know what to do. And so that is also why we're incredibly specific at who we can serve, because we know the student that we are built for. And we know that if we give this proper instruction in the right way, that our students can go back and thrive and grow and go to any yeshiva. The biggest push for me to really create this school was when we were looking for yeshivas for my older son, who went to the Genesee school through eighth grade. And separate from the Kriya, where was he going to go to high school? Where could he go to high school? How could he, what are we going to do with him? And it really dawned on me that there really isn't a great option. So if there isn't a great option for him, think about all the other students who have, you know, struggled in learning or are turned off to learning and who maybe went to a non-Jewish school. And so that was a hardship for them. And that I couldn't sit around anymore shrugging my shoulders and saying, I'll just figure it out day by day for my own child, that this is a real need. This is a need not only for my community here in Baltimore, but it's a need across the entire country. Yes. That communities as such have reached out to me. There have been communities in Cleveland. There have been communities in LA, Detroit also, who have reached out to me and said, how did you do this? Can we do this here in our community? And I say, absolutely. Every single community in America, in the whole entire world, can create a structure in which that I've created here in Baltimore. It could even take place within a school, not even as a host school, but as a classroom in a school in some most those across the country. Wow. And I'm really excited, and I really hope that other schools do create programs like this, because I think it's a huge need. The reason that we're called Binyan Yisrael, Dr. Weisbord always said, is these are the builders of our klal. Exactly what you said. They are creative thinkers, amazing, bright, capable. And without them, the keystones, the cornerstones, the building blocks of our nation are left out. And with that means that we have a very, very weak, structure. Our structural base is weak without these type of builders. So we need to include them, and we need to teach them. And so that's why the school was named Binyan Yisrael, the builders of Yisrael, because we want to make sure that they're part of it. And so that's why Dr. Weisbord really felt that we should be named. She named us Binyan. I added the Yisrael part with another colleague.
Beautiful. I'm curious, outside of the academics, like the where you're trying to make up for deficits, you probably have an opportunity with all these bright kids, creative kids, to provide additional aspects of the educational day. Obviously, there's not a lot of money left for that, but these kids are hungry for those type of enrichment. What do you guys offer, and what does that look like?
We love to add additional activities and enrich our everyday lessons. We do a lot of painting and working with clay and creating projects inside our everyday classes for those outlets. We also have opportunities to go outside of the building. We've gone on numerous trips this past year, and we also bring speakers in to the class. We had a few different types of speakers, Rabbanim, as well as scientists who have come in and spoken to our students.
I imagine that one of the big challenges in getting started is just getting people comfortable with this new idea. Because as an educational leader myself, I know that when suggesting to anyone that they leave the mainstream and do something else is so hard for people, hard for schools to see another lane open, hard for parents to be comfortable with their kids being different. And I imagine it's just hard to get everybody to start to see it. Have you found that to be a challenge?
Yes, absolutely. I think a number of parents who in the beginning really wanted to apply, were definitely frightened of the stigma of what it's like. We are hosted in schools, however, we are not a part of schools. And so what will it look like, even in terms of what does our second year look like? This was our first year. So what's going to happen next year? Is there going to be? Is there not going to be? Who are the teachers going to be? And it takes a real nachshon to be able to step in and say, I'm trusting the process and the educators and the rabbanim. And so, yes, it definitely was a challenge. But Baruch Hashem, our 8 students currently for our boys and girls program are really doing amazing. And for the parents, it's commendable that the parents really, really, really took this step, trusting me and trusting the idea of this school and our methodologies. And Baruch Hashem, they're seeing great success.
I imagine that will speak great volumes for you and for other people being more comfortable as, the educators see the success of the kids that they weren't able to reach and other parents see what you're able to do. It's a process. It'll take time, but I'm sure, the best success will come from your success, you know.
Absolutely, God willing. Yeah, absolutely. We think, you know, we're really hopeful in 5 years, right, when our students are graduating and they're in yeshiva or, you know, in high school for our girls, and they're really, really gaining. And that's when this community will really see the power of having a specialized school like Binyan really is.
Yeah. That's 5 years of.
Right, of, 5 years.
That's a short time. I mean, yeah. Love it. And it sounds like your vision is to have, you mentioned second to seventh. Is there a certain number that you could handle or that you have in mind? Or
yeah, so we were hoping to open with actually more than 8 students per class. However, based on the Rabbanim and Gemesis' understanding of, you know, starting a new school, we said that for the first 5 years, there were going to be 8 students per grade, that's what we were going to accept, 8 students per grade. And so we'll grow in 2 different, you know, locations. So this year I opened up in 2 different locations, right, and I spend my day going back and forth between our girls program and our boys program, and our educators are in one school. So our boys educators only work in the boys school and the girls educators only work in the girls school. But we do have coordinators and we do team meetings. And so the goal, to answer your question, is to grow every year, grade by grade. Next year, we're going to have a 3rd and 4th grade, God willing, girls class. Mm-hmm. And we will have a 4, in Meir Tashem, we'll have a full 4th grade boys class and a 5th and 6th boys class. And right, then every year we hope to add down as we grow up.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And you mentioned the Rabbanim. Are you in regular contact with them? Do Shilas come up about, what are some examples? I assume it's Rabbi Hapfer and Rabbi Heinemann.
Yeah.
What are some examples of like a Shaila that you guys had to like really work through that you think is unique to Binyan Yisrael?
Yes, we speak regularly to Rabbanim. Rabbi Hapfer is the one that we give most of our shilas to. And one question that came up specific to Binyan really was whether we could have reading intervention in the morning during Kodesh hours. So for our girls, they learn Chumash, and it's a rotation between Chumash and reading intervention in small group. And for our boys, it's the same thing. It's a rotation between actually Mishnayot and reading intervention for small group. And we wanted to ask to make sure that was something that we could do.
Rabbi said yes,
and so that's exactly what we do.
So is there anything else about the program, a unique feature, if you will, about Binyan Yisrael that you think we should talk about as we wrap up?
Yeah, I think some things to highlight definitely are our ratios, that in our small groups for reading intervention, it's a 2-to-1 ratio, 2 students to 1 special educator. In our small groups, it's a 4-to-1 ratio, 4 students to 1 special educator. And even as a whole group, we're 8 students to 1 or 2 educators. So that ratio is amazing, and it really is helping us being able to identify all the different aspects of our students and their learning profiles, and being really able to target all of their educational and socially and emotionally their needs. And I also think it's really important to note the partnership between home and school and teachers and students and teachers and parents. We have 6 pillars of Binyan Yisrael, and one of them is parents as partners. In order for education to work, for chinuch to work, it needs to be a really tight partnership. So one thing that we do here at Binyan Yisrael, and it is exceptionally difficult, but we send out individual newsletters to each parent about their specific student every week, every Friday. So that will come individually from their reading intervention instructor, for their Kriya intervention, for Chumash, for language arts. So they're getting their own newsletter. And that is an amazing way of just checking in and showing what they did that week, whether they're working on, for instance, in English language arts, blends or welded sounds, or really where they're specifically holding. And in terms of Chumash and Mishnayos, also, if they took a test that week, we use the Loam Day platform. And Loam Day actually added a really amazing part to their platform for us specifically, where we can record the question and answer so the students don't have to read the question and answer, and they can just click a button. And they can take tests all on their own, which they love doing. And they do not require a reader or a scribe, which is a writer. Amazing. And all students receive Chromebooks at Binyan. So we have them here in school, which is an amazing feature. So parent partnership and communication is happening every single week via the newsletter, along with all the data that we're collecting is also being sent to the parents. And just an amazing form of communication of speaking to the parents. Teachers speak to the parents on, you know, a weekly basis if needed, and really creating that really strong partnership to work with the students.
Amazing. Well, let me tell you that Binyan Yisrael is such a Kiddush Hashem, and you're no small part of that in what you've done for Klal Yisrael, not only for these 16 children, but Mirtz Hashem, I could see it really having an impact far and wide because it's so important. And I'm so thankful that you had the time to tell me about it, and I look forward to watching you guys keep growing and develop. I can't even imagine how far it's going to go. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you so much. God willing. Thank you. Thank you.
Isn't it amazing how Rebbetzin, Dr. Aviva Weisbord, who was a dear friend of my in-laws, the cooks on Yeshiva Lane, had such insight to call this lady with such compassion, invite her over, see the need, probably see in her the ability to make a difference and inspire her to do it, and then shepherd the project in Baltimore, name it, speak to the Rabbanim, set it up for success. Unfortunately, she was one of the many sad victims of COVID, passed away during the COVID epidemic, and she played a huge role in Baltimore in building special ed and awareness of so many important things. As the daughter of the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yaakov Weinberg, and her mother, Rebbetzin Chana Weinberg, who also did a lot for the community, she really stepped into this space and made a huge difference in Baltimore. And so you could hear how Binyan Yisrael has developed, started as this idea, and you could hear how Ms. Alana Weinberg has created this amazing place. And I love how it's in the schools, even though it's an independent school. I think the fact that the children go to the schools that they are housed in like a regular kid, and hopefully they'll find a way to take advantage of the facilities that are there and the social opportunities that were there, because really it would be nice for those children who only need help learning how to read could really feel normal as possible and integrated. And as mentioned in the interview, the real idea is not to keep these children out of the system, but rather to give them the tools, teach them how to read, teach them some self-advocacy, give themselves a sense of confidence and pride, and then put them back into the system with proper support, and they could really be successful. And that's the idea. So thank you again for joining us. As I always remind you, sharing is caring, so please share the episodes. I'm getting so much wonderful feedback from people who are sharing it and then going back and hearing about some of the programs that we've featured in previous episodes and then asking about them and making connections in the Chinuch world, which is so much about the idea of this podcast and something that gives me great nachas. Of course, hearing from all my friends and the people who listen really means a lot to me. So thank you for being part of this. And feel free to send any questions, comments, or guest suggestions to chinuchtodaypodcast@gmail.com. This is your Achmiel Garfield wishing you a wonderful day.